Coming to you live from the basement of an abandoned training facility where we talk about fighting, training, and events. It's the Fight Mixer Show, where you can hear about all the local and world combat sports happenings. Get ready. It's time to gear up and square up because we're going live.
Live
on the Fight Mixer Show.
Perfect.
Welcome. It's Wednesday. We haven't seen you guys in a while, so thank you guys for being here. We got awesome BKFC fighter. I don't want to say it wrong, so is it Britain?
No, it's Britain, just like the country.
Britain. Okay. Bad. If I see it one way, I'll totally say it. Whatever my weird brain is mimicking it. So, well, thank you for being here. We're excited to have you on. You have a lot of great news. A lot of exciting things coming up, and you've been definitely in the news and the highlights for BKFC. How are you doing today?
Yeah, it's awesome. It's an exciting time to be, you know, with BKFC. I mean, when they first started, I feel like a lot of people, you know, had their doubts about this bare knuckle and how long are they really going to be around. And I think now people are really seeing that they're here to stay and that they're the future of combat sports. So, to be in that in its pioneer days, you know, on BKFC 2, and then I was again on BKFC 5. And then here, you know, I got to reappear at BKFC 14. I mean, the people that were acquiring to our team and the roster and the amount of views that it's getting and people being involved, it's growing at an alarming rate. So super, super amazing. I'm so blessed and, you know, it's just a great opportunity. And, you know, like I tell everybody, great moments come from great opportunities.
Yeah, I think that's exciting too, because you always have like the foundation layers, like the first people of UFC, the girls that started, and here you are in a different promotion that I still feel like is in its baby stages and has so much potential. And you get to be one of those girls that call that your home and be one of those foundation layers, so you don't know where BKFC is going to be in 10 years, but you can only grow with it. And that's really exciting to be there. Tell us about like where you've been. So you've had 4 wins, you got 4 losses, the 3 draws, you had Christine Ferreira, and you got now Paige VanZant booked for you February. How do you feel about this going up and up and up?
Yeah, no, again, it kind of goes back to what I said, you know, great moments come from great opportunities. So I think when, you know, I was really trying to really work my pro boxing career, you know, as you can see, I kind of have like that journeyman kind of feel where I'm always going to other people's hometown. I'm always fighting as the underdog. And, you know, a lot of people talk shit on social media like, oh, this is a pro boxer, her record's 4-4-3. But you really have to look who I fought for that record to be 4-4-3. The people I fought weren't people that padded my records. They weren't in my hometown. They weren't in club promotion. You know, I was fighting in Las Vegas. I was fighting in Atlantic City. I was fighting on big shows trying to make a name for myself. And I was really trying to really work my pro boxing. Gave up on that dream and, you know, trying to do that. So when BKFC reached out to me to fight Beck Rawlings, who, you know, is a former UFC vet, I'm just thinking, you know, hey, no, I'm not going on TV in front of millions of people to get beat up. I'm just not going to do it. I have more integrity. You know, I'm not out here to chase the money or chase, you know, fame and light. Like I'm really out here to just prove that I'm the best and that I'm really passionate about what I do. And then I'm going to win. And then I'm a winner. Like that's what I'm here to fight for. And, you know, it took somebody kind of telling me like, hey, you know, Beck Rawlings is just the name. We really think you can do this. You have a style that fits to this type of fighting. You hit hard, you're tough as shit, you're not scared of anything. You know, I've been in street fights. I grew up street fighting. So I was a street fighter who went boxing, and now it's kind of cool that I get to take that and kind of go back to what I was originally the best at. So, you know, I seized that opportunity and took it for what it's worth. I trained my ass off every single day. I quit my job because I really believed in myself that this fight was going to change my life. And even though I went in there, it was a split decision loss. I didn't get the win like I, you know, truly wanted to. But at the end of the day, I still did get and meet that goal that that fight changed my life. It put respect on my name. It kind of showed that, it, you know, anybody can do anything as long as they work hard. And that, you know, I had a lot of obstacles I was facing. And I did that with a lot of obstacles. So, you know, now it's just driving me even more to kind of remove those obstacles that I had in my first BKFC appearance. And now you can see it. You can see not me changing, but me transforming into the fighter I want to be. Because now, you know, I'm away from some of the negative things. I'm away from the things that were holding me back. I'm away from being in gyms that don't appreciate me, that aren't training me, that are just throwing me to the wolves. I'm with management that fucking cares about my future, instead of just trying to make a dollar off me. It's a huge difference, and you can see it playing out. So it's, again, you know, that's what I'm here for.
Have you changed your style a bunch since going over to bare knuckle, or have you still pretty much kept your original training?
I could say, you know, it's been a journey for me. I think that I was really lost when I first started fighting. I was broken. I had a lot of really bad things happen to me, and the gym was kind of a sanctuary for me to get away from that, relieve stress, and be, you know, try to be a better person and do something productive. So I was still lost, though. I try to be like this fighter I saw on TV, or, you know, I'd see somebody doing something, and I'd be like, I want to look like that. I want to be like that. So I would change my style to kind of fit with who I was training with. You know, my coach would train me. He would be like, oh, you're doing it all wrong. Do it this way. So I would, you know, listen. I feel like I'm very moldable that way and adapt into change. So I would just do what my coach would want me to do. So therefore, you can see a lot of maybe lack of confidence in some of my fights, or I was unsure because I think I was trying to mimic and be something that I wasn't entirely sure of. But now, as you know, the experience and the progression with everything and the confidence, I feel like the style I have, and then I know what works for me. I try to fight this way. I try to fight a different way. I try to fight, you know, another way. And now I see what works for me, because what works for me might not work for you. It might not work for this girl. It might not work for the kids that I'm training, coaching. They have to develop their own style. And I feel like I'm really at that point in my career where I've really zoned in on my style and the way I'm going to be as a fighter. And I think that you'll see that be more evident here in fights to come.
One thing that I loved was your story. It's your mom, and you got into this, and I was reading that you kind of got pushed into pro fighting as a way to make money. Do you feel like you wish you could have withstand that a little bit longer, or are you happy you did it when you did?
You know, it kind of goes back to the thing, you know, it's kind of hard to believe, you know, when bad things happen to you, everyone says everything happens for a reason. You know, it's the very standard thing to say, like, hey, there's a reason for it. And I'm kind of, again, I'm kind of seeing that play out here. You know, of course, no, I wish I would have got more experience. I wish that I would have had more coaching and more time to kind of learn the things such as range and distance and, you know, some other things that you learn as an amateur or just spending time in a boxing gym around boxing-minded people. But, you know, unfortunately, that wasn't the hand I was dealt. You know, and I'm thankful for it because it kind of really made me be able to survive anything. I've been thrown to the wolves early and, you know, didn't, you know, really have the training that was necessary. So for me, you know, a lot of commentators on my fights, they're like, oh, you know, here's Britton Hart. She's learning on the job. And I mean, that's kind of the best way to learn in the fast track that I'm on. You know, as far as you can go in the gym all day and spar, hit pads, hit a heavy bag, but it's not going to hit you back. It's not going to hit in the ring. And here I am testing myself, seeing what I'm made of in the ring. Again, yeah, I wish that I had money behind me, and I wish I had, you know, not the story that I had. But at the same time, I'm glad that I had it, because now it made me who I am today. And it made me appreciate where I'm at today a lot more than some people that, you know, might be 7-0 and they've never really fought anybody that was tough, or, you know, they had their records, you know, they had a bunch of easy wins. You know, for me, that pressure's kind of off because I did it so early. So I am thankful for that. But, yeah, I mean, I guess it kind of it goes to say, you know, I took the hard road, but the hard road made me way stronger fighter in the end. So I'm thankful for that.
Yeah,
I think I relate to that so much because even when I first started, I feel like I was always getting girls that had more experience than me or had advantages I didn't have, like weight. And I feel like it's good to like get yourself those tough fights right away because you're ready for anything after that.
Yeah, absolutely. That's why they say when they talk about fights and like fighting the hardest, I'm like, man, you got to look at, you know, people again, you know, talking, you know, casting shade on stuff. And they're like, oh, she's, you know, lost to in bare knuckle. It's like, well, I fought Beck Rollins and, you know, Christine Ferreira. Like who, what girls go out there and just fight those off their first two fights? Like, you know, but for me, I'm already been against the toughest. So anybody that gets in the ring with me is just, I really just look at them as another opponent, another person. So it's more me fighting myself rather than fighting a name. So I don't have to be worried about, oh, it's Paige VanZant or, you know, whoever it is. I'm worried about me being true to myself and sticking to my game plan that I came up with or that my team came up with.
I think that's not a bad thing, like you were saying. I mean, it's experience. It's not the fact that you've lost. It's the fact that you've got this experience in the ring with a seasoned fighter. Whether you win or lose, you're coming out a way more experienced, high growth, you know, is way higher as a fighter. Then I don't think people realize that it's not a bad thing to lose. Especially when you have heart and you get up and you keep going and stuff like that. The loss is not a loss in a lot of the fighters' eyes. And I really hope other people don't, you know, look at it that way. You know, people are like, oh, you know, be happy, whatever. You know, it's always a win. And it's true, maybe it's hard to deal with sometimes, or we get upset. You know, like you said, I had a split loss before. I've had a split loss before. I mean, if anything, I'd lose to a split, and that's probably the best way to get out there. But getting in that cage with Christine Ferreira, that only pads you and gets you ready for something more experienced and more, and just growth and growth and growth. So whatever happens, I think you're way before your prime anyway. And that's awesome that you got that so early on in your BKFC career.
Exactly. They say, you know, there's no losses, they're only lessons. So,
yeah.
You know, don't look at the L that way. But I mean, it's hard when you read it, you know, when you go on to, you know, hear people's opinions and feedback, it's hard to hear that. But at the same time, it's like, I know personally, and you know, going back to, you know, those who are in the fight game and know what they're talking about, they know, they can look at a record and be like, well, the numbers don't match up with, hey, you know, this girl, you know, went up, you know, around at 120 and I'm fighting people at 130, 135 and still, you know, either going the distance or winning. Like, what does that really say about me as a fighter?
Yeah. I think if you try something or you slightly improve, like you're always slightly improving, you're always pushing forward somewhere, like that makes you successful. So whether if your punches get better, your angles get better, your footwork gets better, your cardio, you go on the championship rounds, like whatever that is, more power to you. So what are you doing anything different for this camp then? We like asking the girls what they're doing, or are you planning to fight Paige, or are you planning to fight yourself going in the ring and Paige just happens to be there?
Well, that's, you know, the Paige fight actually isn't official right now. So, you know, we're really working for that. And I really want to fight her on February 5th and call her out. As you know, I definitely want to fight. It's not official yet. So it's really hard for me to answer that. And it's kind of, again, so I'm just really training to work on everything I have. You know, like you said, angles, footwork, you know, bare knuckle strategies that I might use me personally. But, you know, until the contract's in front of me, you know, my opponent can change at any point in time. It could be Paige VanZant, it could be Jenny Savage, it could be another girl that's going to come, it could be Sheena. I mean, and really, I can't really formulate a great game plan until I get that official and that contract in front of me. So I'm really waiting on that. But I mean, when I get that name, whoever that name is, it's definitely going to be, you know, looking at their background, are they taller, are they shorter, are they switch stances, all that stuff is going to make a huge difference in how I train and prepare. So right now, it's like I'm fighting myself. When I get the contract and the person in front of me, I will be a better answer.
I'm just curious, as a fighter, was it satisfying that after you called her out, she got in the cage and you got to like face her right away?
You know, I kind of feel two different ways about it. I mean, I'm kind of like a just go with the flow. Like I said, I've been in all situations. I've been in some great situations, but man, I've been in some bad ones too. So I'm just kind of ready for anything. So I wasn't really expecting her to get in the ring. So when she got in the ring, it was kind of like, oh, you know, I just really went four rounds bare knuckle with Randine and, you know, went through that. I'm having a million emotions and things going through my head. I really wanted to thank like my sponsors and my friends, my family, my two kids. You know, there's all those things that I wanted to get out there. So when she came in, I'm like, I have that on this side of my brain and my head. And then on the other side, I'm like, oh, here she is, you know. Yeah, well, you know, it was an awkward situation. I don't really, it doesn't bother me. I don't get heated. You know, I'm not going to be like, bitch, get out of the ring. This is my time to shine. I'll face you, you know, February 5th.
Oh, wouldn't that be a statement to make?
Yeah, you know, and sometimes I'm kind of, you know, I go back and think that, but, you know, I'm just at the end of the day, you know, I love the promotion that I'm in. I love BKFC. And, you know, she wanted to get in the ring and share that light with me. You know, it kind of happened the way it did. But it was awkward. I will say that. And there are things that I wish I could go back and do. But when you're, you know, on the spot and in the moment and you got those things going through your head, you got cameras, you got TV, you got the interviewer, reporters, it's just, that's just kind of what came out.
Yeah, so I was down in Miami and seen you put on your show. I mean, you did. You definitely took that your last opponent to task. So if that's any indication on where you're going, you put on an absolute clinic down there. So
thank you. Well, that means a lot. That was the game plan. You know, a lot of the people are like, "Damn, like you should, you know, shoulda, woulda, coulda, all this different things." But again, the game plan wasn't to go in and it was to show that, hey, you know, I've really worked on myself, on my craft. I've really worked on angles, the jabs, setting up, going to the body shots, slipping shots, you know? So it's not often that you get a chance to spar bare knuckle. You know, we don't really ever do that because, you know, obviously the risks that come in with it. So I really took it like, you know, a lot of fighters always, you know, say, and people will give you advice, just have fun. You worked hard, go have fun. And it's like, it's really hard to get that concept when people say go out there and have fun, because you're like, you're fighting, you're in a ring with someone that you want to hurt. They're in the ring with me and want to hurt me. Why do I want to go out there and have fun? But now I kind of got that kind of feeling. And I went out there and I really got to feel what that meant. You know, I got to go out there and just feel like myself. I didn't have that pressure and, you know, anything like that. I just felt like, hey, I got this. I'm going to show, you know, like you said, I'm going to put on a clinic. I'm going to go and move. I'm going to jab. I'm going to do this. And I felt like I got to do that. And I think you can see, like, as the fight progressed from the first round, second round, third round, the fourth round, I was like, okay, I'm done. You know, I came out really heated that time. So you could tell that, you know, that was the knockout round.
I feel like that's something fighters kind of get to with more experience, is that stop being nervous, stop being so scared, and just have fun with it. And it just works out so much better.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was great. I had I mean, I really did. I had an absolutely, it was the best. I mean, I've had a lot of really good fights, but that one was definitely my favorite.
What kind of, if you don't mind asking, what kind of injuries have you had from moving on to bare knuckle? Is it significant that you're like, it is a totally different beast? I just saw someone saying that BKFC is a totally different beast. I believe it. And when I talk to a lot of people and ask them about their interest in starting into bare knuckle, they're like, oh, there's no way I would do it unless I'm paid. So what is your experience physically transitioning to that? And what do you think of that? Is it difficult or is it just a mental thing?
It has to be a mental thing, because it was funny, because when someone asked me, why the hell would you do bare knuckle? I'm thinking, well, if you ran your mouth to me and I could go take you in Walmart parking lot and beat the shit out of you for free, I would. But obviously, you know, you're going to go to, you know, you got legal troubles then. So you can't just be, you know, fist fighting in Walmart parking lot. But if I had the opportunity to do it, I probably would. So I kind of looked at it that way. Like, if I'm going to go out and bang with someone in my backyard or parking lot, why wouldn't I do it in the ring? So it kind of, I didn't have that fear of, oh my gosh, it's bare knuckle. You know, and when you look at it, I had some injuries in boxing. You know, I have one I have two stitches from boxing, and I have two stitches and a broken hand from street fighting. And then bare knuckle, I had two stitches, and then I had to have my teeth fixed because they kind of were knocked back. So I kind of joke about it because I had, if you look at pictures prior to bare knuckle, I have one crooked tooth. And not that it matters, you know, everyone knows, I could care less. Everyone has crooked teeth to a point. It's not that big a deal. But after bare knuckle, where I got my teeth knocked back, now they're wired back and they're perfectly straight. So I'm like, man, I have better teeth.
So like, I look better.
So I'm happy about it. It's a weird situation.
No, I could see that. That's funny. Yeah, because I think that I've talked to Matt before, like I would do bare knuckle, but just because I've done the street fights too, and I've had that temper, but I got into fighting just to get over my temper and use that in my therapy. But I told him I have really big hands. I don't know if you have big hands. Do you notice the chicks having big knuckles, or is that not going to play a part? I'm so interested in this.
Yeah, well, it's super cool because when I was at BKFC, I'm 14, they measured my hands. And I was like, oh, I didn't really, like you said, I didn't even really think of that if you have big hands. I do remember when Beck Rawlings shook my hand or we did whatever. I remember when she put her hand in mine, I was like, oh my gosh, she has so small, like dainty hands. Like her hands were kind of small. I was like, man, that's crazy. And I look at my hands, you know, and I think about like ring sizes. I always like joke and say I have fat fingers because I wear like a size 7 or size 8 for my rings. But they measured my fist. So I think it's like 25. Was it like 25 centimeters was the thing on that? But compared to my opponent, one, it seems to be different. So I think it does play. I mean, if it plays a factor, if it's a bigger surface, I mean, would you rather be hit by a small hammer or a big hammer?
Yeah, that's what I always notice, and it doesn't really matter. I mean, maybe in MMA, it would. Boxing, kickboxing, not so much. But yeah, that's what I always notice. I'm like, I got big old ass hands. So I'm
like, right. Yeah, it's cool. It's interesting. It's a neat little piece to think. But I mean, I think it does have, you know, a slider advantage having a bigger fist. It's just a bigger surface area, you know, smaller shots. So you have to be more accurate. So the more space you have with the fist, you know, locking in, I think that it's just more damage.
I'm one of those females that doesn't want to do bare knuckle because I'm like, I don't know, because I can get hit with a glove like a handful of times. And I can take that. But I'm not sure if the bare knuckle is just like that scotch a little bit more. Then I'm like, ah, no, done. Don't want to hit that anymore. Like, I'll give up. So that's where I'm at. I'm just afraid, like, it's just a scotch bit more and my tolerance will just break on a bare knuckle.
Yeah, I mean, I think it just depends. I feel like for me personally, I mean, I've seen it both ways. I've seen people be hit by a bare fist and they're like, oh, whoa, I don't want any part of it. But if you've been hit by a bare fist before and, you know, maybe I should say, unfortunately, in my life, I've been hit a lot of times with bare fists, and you know, it sucks. But after you get hit from a bare fist so many times, like in your personal life, and you know, before when you were growing up, it seems like not as scary from being in a fighter's point of view. I mean, I definitely was intimidated a little bit with my first bare knuckle fight, but I was actually in the ring. And I remember when Beck Rawlings hit me for the first time, I really remember looking and being like, oh shit, that's not that bad. I've been through it before. I've been through worse, you know? So I think that just makes me unique and kind of why I belong to the sport and why my story is so good, because, you know, like I said, unfortunately I've been at rock bottom before. I've been in some shitty situations that kind of make me more relatable to people that have been in likewise situations without speaking about it and knowing about it. I think it's just all perspective. If you're used to it and you've been through it, it's kind of like, hey, at the end of the day, I'm thankful that a ref's there to break it up, because on the streets, there's no ref there to save you and break it up. You got to just take it, you know?
Yeah.
And that's one thing I do like about your story and how you're such a great fighter now, because I've seen women in your position where they were in abusive situations and people are just, oh, well, she's a fighter. So, like, there's no way anyone could abuse her. She could be overpowered. And it does happen.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's bullshit that people say that. And, you know, I've had a lot of people say that, and it kind of hurts because it doesn't make a wrong any less wrong if you're a fighter. But, you know, there's a lot of things. When you're fighting, it's a sport. It's for competition. There's rules. There's, you know, a referee. There's officials. You know, it's regulated. And then, you know, it's about being ready. I mean, you could be looking. If I'm looking this way, it doesn't matter. Someone comes over and has a cheap blow and knocks me out or stuns me. That puts them at an advantage to just whoop my ass in the street or anywhere, regardless of if I'm a fighter or not. You know, I'm not trying to fight outside of the streets. I'm trying to protect myself. Like, I know how, like, you know, obviously I'm still here. I'm not dead. You know, thank God my fighting has gotten me. I could have, you know, there's about three times I can tell you I could have had somebody kill me, and you know, maybe I got beat up and I looked pretty awful. I had to go to the hospital, but I wasn't dead. I was able to protect myself, you know, even with like self-defense classes when people choke you know, to put your chin down so they can't get that, you know, lock off your airway right away. You know how to fight back to where you can't escape, or at least they'll stop hitting you or leave you alone. Once you hit them back, they might not want to hit you, but hey, it doesn't really help the fact that they hit you four times before you hit them back. And then people just kind of look at that, you know, oh, again, she's a fighter, she's a girl, she probably deserved it. I mean, nobody really, you know, nobody deserves that, especially when you don't know the scope of the situation or what you're in. And for females especially, it's really hard being in a world that, you know, has a lot of guys that are, you know, that are tough and, you know, try to have that tough man and alpha personality. And then you come across and maybe they think, well, you can take it, or you're used to it, or you've been through it. I mean, whatever the reason is, everybody has different situations and scenarios on what it would be as far as abuse or spur of the moment fights outside of the ring or in your personal life. But I mean, for me, it's been something that saved my life that maybe people don't really see, because, you know, it's a hard thing to talk about sometimes. I don't want people to think all the negative. I have other things that I have to live for and that are going for me that I don't necessarily need all the details to be put out there publicly, you know?
Yeah, I think it's the sport itself, and in your case, you had a lot of mental conditioning, I think, beforehand, getting in, as far as you talking about, like, your past and the adversity that you went through before you got over to BPFC, or fighting in general, and I think it really is what it is. So you are probably extremely tough, is what I would think is mentally tough, and you've just been conditioned, and you understand, like, the amount of damage you can take and the amount of push you have and heart you can give still. So I really applaud you on that. And I think that it is a lot too. It's just, there's some people that are conditioned to take damage, and there's some people that aren't conditioned. And I think if people realize what their body can do and push forward through, like, they'd be a lot more surprised themselves. So that's really awesome to hear you talk about, though, like, where you come from and actually bring, like, the personal aspect into it, which we appreciate you being candid about. And translating that into something positive that has only, you know, impacted your life, and hopefully more so positive. So that's awesome. Especially that's what we want with the women's show here too.
Right. So
we don't really talk about a lot too much about, I mean, me and Allie will talk about some personal stuff sometimes, but we really don't have a lot of time to bring that stuff up. So I think that's a good thing to have in our show. So thank you for that. Real quick, I wanted to know before, I know we're getting close to letting you off, because I know we told you about 30 minutes. So thank you for spending all your time with us. I want to know real quick, where did you start fighting, or what made you, aside from that, like, is that the first time you stepped in and tried to get training, or were you doing any other kind of sport though beforehand?
Yeah, so I actually, you know, I was born in Utah. I moved to Turkey, but I really grew up in Germany. So I lived in Germany from 5 to 10. So while I was over there, I played soccer, and I got, you know, I was really big into that. So then when I moved to the United States, I played you know, I did all the traditional sports. I did soccer, basketball. I was really tough. I actually did play on a powder puff football league. So I was big into those sports. So I really love sports. And then, you know, I ended up kind of getting fights in sports, like whether it be on the soccer field or basketball court or whatever, that they were always like, you should go to like MMA or boxing. And I was just like, you know, I don't have the money, I don't have time, I don't have people to take me there. So I had to walk home. Like sometimes I'd have to walk, you know, 2 or 3 miles to get back to my house from that to the bus. You know, so I was really on my own very, very young. And, you know, I had to rely on myself, which is a lot of pressure for a 14, 15, 16, yada, yada. So I had my child pretty early, you know, my son. I had him early. So I was like, man, what am I going to do? I ended up going to – I love sports so much. I was like, I'm going to get my degree in sport management so I can still be involved in it. And then I found myself kind of around the wrong people, wrong time. I ended up getting – as soon as I graduated with my degree, I ended up getting into a lot of legal trouble. And it just – you know, it just kind of a snowball effect, like one legal problem to another legal problem. And I felt like kind of my life was – you know, over, and I didn't know what to do about it. And you know, I was like, well, I'm not going to school anymore. You know, I need to work, but I need a place to go that's going to be a healthy outlet. And I went to a boxing gym, and as soon as I went in the boxing gym, it was like, it, you know, this whole entire time, like being lost and feeling like I don't belong. And you know, I felt like I was on my own and by myself. It's funny because boxing is like an individual sport, but I never felt like I was really alone. I really felt like that was the place. Like, I felt like this is the, you know, they say there's 2 important dates in your life, you know, the day you were born and the day you find out why. And it wasn't, you know, anything else in my life than boxing that I knew of. So that was, you know, I love my kids to death. They're amazing. But, you know, I really feel like boxing was the answer on why I was put here, and that fighting was the way. You know, nobody listens to a nobody. You know, anybody can tell you their sad story or their rock bottom story. And you're going to be like, man, that sucks, or good for you working your way out of it. But when you listen to a fighter, like, that's the truest sense of, like, a platform you can get to wow, this girl's a real fighter. This person, this individual is a real fighter. And, you know, I always wanted that platform so people would listen to my story. And more importantly, they know that they're not alone, and that they can work themselves out of it, no matter what it is, an abusive relationship, no family, no mom and dad, no sisters, you know, lack of education, a criminal past, like no matter what the situation is, you can fight out of it. It's just hard work, but you can do it. And I feel like people started listening, understanding to that. And, you know, I started getting respect that way. And, you know, like I said, I was, you know, I didn't have a job. I felt like my career was over because of the legal problems. So when they said you can turn professional and make this your job, you can make money by fighting, it was like from that day on, I've never thought anything less than being the best and making, you know, boxing and now bare knuckle my actual job. And, you know, my hopes for that is, you know, win the belt. I want to be the best female in my division. And then after that, you know, I want to start my gym. I want to start a program for kids that were kind of like me growing up that didn't have, you know, parents to take them to and from practice or get them to places or have money to put them in tournaments. Just whatever I can do to help, you know, really, to help the world and help be a better person. I think it starts with kids and people that are in sensitive situations or that are broken or, you know, might be, you know, drug addicts or something. Like, those people need a home too. And I feel like me being the fighter I am, that if I work to that and stay on that level, that I'll have a gym that people can come to, because one, they respect my name, they know what I can do, and they know they have a place that they can belong and maybe also heal themselves too.
That's awesome. Well, I find you inspiring, Britton. I know Allie's over there just like smirking at you. I know you're just like smirking at her because I know you enjoy stories like that, and I really appreciate that. She's an inspiration, and
I just love her story. I remember I loved it. And you're such a great person. You're trying to get back so much. Like, you earn every ounce of respect you get.
Thank you. It's really, at the end of the day, that's like the best thing that I could ask for. So, and I do want a belt more than anything. I really do. But, you know, nothing beats that, the respect. But like when someone says that, when you hear they respect you or they're proud of you, I mean, it's better than any payday for real. So I really appreciate that.
Yeah. And coming on here, like I said, this is the reason why we want, you know, a woman show too. And showcase the girls that I feel like there's just a spotlight that just needs to still be shone on the girls. And It still needs to increase, and we're not there yet. And we appreciate you, you know, throwing yourself out there and being really open with us and candid, like I said. And I'm really excited to keep watching you and see what's to come. If you want, take a second, however long you need, I guess. Whatever shout out, sponsors, fans, anyone that's watching you, give us, you know, how do you want them to follow you? Give us some love, guys.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm 100% planning to be in Tampa on February 5th, so please stay tuned for that. I definitely want to thank, you know, Contenders Clothing is a sponsor that's always been, you know, there from, you know, the beginning to now. We believe that I was a somebody when I was a nobody, and they've been on that journey. I definitely want to thank my coach, Marcus Luck at Luck's Boxing Gym. He definitely gives me the inspiration to help youth and get kids off the streets and into a great place. I definitely want to thank, you know, my family and friends' support that I have, definitely my two kids, and Jennifer for letting me come over here. And she's always got my back 100%. So, you know, she believed in me from day one, too. So there's not a lot of people that got on my train when it was all, you know, busted and torn up, but you know, they're there now, and they're going to be there when it's nice and shiny, too. So I really appreciate those people that believed in me then. So the shout-outs to them. And to you guys. So thank you for you're like, thank you for you guys, you know, asking me to be on the show and finding an interest and taking the time to ask me questions. And so I do really appreciate you guys. A big shout-out to you, too. I will make sure, you know, I follow you guys and tag you. Do the same back to me. My Instagram is BrittenHart_. And then I have a Twitter now, which is Team BrittenHart. And my Facebook is just BrittenHart.
You can come back anytime you want.
Well, good. Well, as we move closer to February 5th, I would love to do another one. That way I can give you guys a little, you know, insight on actual what I feel about my opponent then.
Nice. Yeah, I'll be in Tampa February too, so I will try to look you up. I missed you. I was in Mississippi, and I guess you were there. I didn't see you, but I was also running around with my camera, so I you know.
I think next time Bruce is in the throw adder, you get her attention.
Yeah, and nobody recognized me though. I was wearing a black dress.
I gotta be honest, I didn't recognize you until I seen you on the pictures. I'm like, oh my god, I know she was there. I seen her.
I'm like, it's funny when people are like, because normally I have braids and cornrows, and they're like, wow, you look so different without having braids. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, you cleaned up well.
So. Yeah, thank you.
Well, thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you. It was my pleasure. Great having you.
I'm sorry, what?
I said, thank you. It was great having you.
Oh, yeah.
Another Wednesday, another bar.
Yeah, it was awesome. Great to see other powerful women in it, too, and you, too. And a powerful guy.
Yeah. These girls could beat my ass, so.
Yeah. That's what makes you powerful, the fact that you can admit that.
That's why we're states away.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, thank you so much, and we'll definitely have you back on.
Awesome. Sounds good.
All right. Thank you, Britt.
See ya. That was fun.
Absolutely.
I was actually really looking forward to this. Like I was saying, I was doing our studying, and I was reading up about her. I was like, oh my god, like we were like born the same year. She's got two kids. She was like had the underdog advantage. She was fighting all these hard opponents. And I was like, I just relate to her so well. And I think we both had legal troubles the same year. That was cool too. I was like, oh my god, she's like my sister.
Nice. Well,
oh, I'm muted. That's why I was wondering, like, why can't you hear me? I muted it because my cat was being really loud. So if you heard me, love my cat.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I definitely want to give a shout out to our sponsors, Dringer Nutrition. And I want to also thank Vince for having me at his place down in Mississippi during the fight event. So big shout out to Goat Combat for that. But I think it was a good
really try that Dragner stuff because I'm very picky about the flavors of pre-workouts I drink, and that stuff actually tastes really good.
The blue raspberry. I'm telling you.
I like the raspberry. It's got a good kick too, but some of the other ones are pretty good too, like the raspberry tea.
Oh, yeah. That one's really good too. And the cookies and cream protein.
Mm-hmm. That one I liked a little bit better than chocolate, but that one's still pretty good.
Yeah, there's more depth to it, but I think it's, I feel bad though, because I'm like, sometimes like I want to drink that stuff without like.
I love the fruit punch, but I was not expecting it to be so bright pink. Like I was looking at it and it looked like Austin Powers mojo.
That makes it fun.
Well, we'll see if we can't get that company to send you a couple more.
Hey, drinker.
Bottles. So
that'd be sweet.
Yeah. That's what.
And hopefully we'll be down there in February. And if not, I might not be able to make it down there. I want to really try and just do a road trip. It's my time to be on vacation. So I'm trying to get you guys to like,
I'm
not
definitely
sure. The show to see.
Yeah, I'm just not sure if I can get everybody in. So, but yeah.
If anything, it's probably May is the next one after that, then, right?
Yeah, probably.
Maybe April. Trying to like plan a vacation. I want to get down there at some point.
Well, if you guys both come down, you know, you can hang out at my house. I got a suite with a pool and a bathroom attached. So you guys are welcome. Both of you guys are welcome to come down.
Anytime. Is that an official Airbnb?
No, I can't have Airbnb as my HOA. It's a just me and my wife like to have guests. So if you ever want to head down this way, you're welcome to.
Sweet.
Pretty cool.
Well, I'm trying at some point.
It'd be an epic road trip to pick up Karen on the way.
Yeah, we can podcast it all the way down there.
Document the whole thing. How many times we get lost? We'll get lost at least 3 times.
We hate each other by that time we're done. Like,
and then we can film the whole way back.
Yeah. That would be some footage, I'm pretty sure.
We should have to stay home, my puppies. But all right, guys, thank you for a good night. Glad we got
thank you for tuning in with us.
We had Miranda. We had to reschedule Miranda. If anyone was looking for Miranda, I apologize. She's definitely someone I want on the show. So we got her rescheduled. That is January 6th, 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, 10 p.m. Eastern. It's a late show, later show again. Just like
the late show.
Miranda Maverick, that nasty elbow. I just want to talk to her about. High five four. She's my hero right now. I love elbows.
How about your boy this weekend? What was it this weekend in St. Louis? Your what was his name? Oh my god. You said he trained.
I like Karen's thinking face right now.
He trains at your gym.
He trains at my gym. Are you talking about Joaquin?
Yeah.
Oh boy. I don't know him personally. his best friend is my good friend Max Chori at Marbeck.
Sure. I still want to have him on, but
I would love to have him on. I'm just not on
you just have to go throw some candy or something at him. Tell him to get his ass.
At my gym that I train at and that I teach at, which is Finney's MMA. That's where Joaquin Buckley trains out of, but he's out of a bunch of other gyms. He's a very well known local around here. Really expected him to go far and he did. But yeah, his best friend Max Moradbek Choriev. If you follow him, I think it's Alchemish TV. If you look up him on Instagram, you will see Joaquin and his little adventures there too. Max Correa, that's also someone you should watch out for, but hopefully I'll get him and if not, both of them on here at some point too to talk about. I just know Joaquin. I've seen Joaquin a couple times, but he's been training back and forth and I really don't want to bother him. When I held his camera for him, but I didn't ask him for the podcast interview yet.
I know. You got to ease into it, right?
Yeah.
Can't wait for that opportune moment.
Yeah, but definitely. And if, like I said, if not, like I said, best friend Murad Beck, he's definitely one we need to talk to also. He's a very exciting up-and-comer in the St. Louis area. So, and I have a lot of other people. So, yes, lots of stuff to come. We really have a list for everyone. Anyone watching, we have a list of people. We're just trying to figure out when and how and do we have to kidnap them. So, I don't know.
And everyone's got their own lives. Everyone's got stuff that comes up sometimes. And sometimes we have stuff that comes up sometimes. Yeah. So
and work
it's making the planets align just perfectly to make all this magic happen.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So thank you guys.
Thank you guys very much.
If you guys have any suggestions, please send them our way and have a great Wednesday night.
Perfect.